శంకరాస్ గ్లోరీ రియల్లీ కెనాట్ బి డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ఎ ఫ్యూ వర్డ్స్, బట్ స్టిల్ లెట్ అస్ మేక్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్. ది టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ అద్వైత, ద యూనిటీ ఆఫ్ రియాలిటీ, ద రియాలిటీ ఇస్ వన్ వితౌట్ ద సెకండ్, దట్ ఈస్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ అద్వైత. సో దట్ ట్రూత్ ఈస్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది వేదిక్ లిటరేచర్, బట్ దెన్ ఇట్ ఆక్యుపైస్ ఎ స్మాల్ పార్ట్ అట్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ది వేదాస్. Most of the Vedas is about karma and upasana, where the variety and plurality rules the roost. That is the main thing in the upasana. If Agni is there, it is 8 Agnis. If Gandharva is there, 11 Gandharvas. Vayu is there, 11 Vayus. It is the details and variety and variety and variety. Like science. So the study of variety and plurality, that is one kind of a branch of knowledge. All science is like that. But we get accustomed to the variety and plurality so much that we start losing sight of the basic unity, which is the truth. And what is wrong? What is the problem? Suppose we don't care for the unity. It may be the truth. We are not interested in it. Our purpose is served by the variety. One may say like that. Okay, fair enough. But the problem is, in the variety, there is no peace of mind. There is no repose for the mind. As long as there is variety, the mind will become moving. Mind has to indulge in a continuous movement. Because the variety has to be covered by the mind, you know. You have to know the variety, then only there is variety. Therefore, mind has to jump from one to the other, to the other, to the other. So, this movement of the mind, it continues on and on and on. The calmness of the mind is not possible in variety. And then, all the samsara has its origin in variety. In the plurality alone, there is samsara. If there is one gold, then there is no variety of ornaments, etc. And then the entire ornament-based samsara comes to an end. It is unimaginable, I tell you. It is a huge samsara. This ornament samsara is a very big samsara. Suppose the idea of plurality is not there with reference to gold, then the entire samsara of that kind is not there at all. It is over. Done with. For example, certain groups of people who don't know what are ornaments, for them, this ornament business is not there. So, for putting an end to Raja Dvesha, abiding in a serene mind and recognizing the ultimate truth as the one without the second, we need to rise above this plurality. This truth is very well recognized in the Upanishadic literature. It occupies the last portion of Veda. But when Shankara came to the world, Shankara Sakshat, Shankara is the incarnation of Lord, that is how we say. So when he took birth, the situation was, the understanding of unity is totally absent. The variety has taken over the country, Indian society particularly. So much so, Shankara has examined 72 modes of worship. He has examined. There were 72 cults. India was always having this problem. The number of cults is always a huge number. Cult after cult after cult. They proliferate like that. And it is a democratic culture. That is a great advantage. That is its glory. But it has its own disadvantage also. So, all these cults, they are rooted in variety and plurality, and so the truth, the unity is lost sight of. The entire society, Indian society, was divided vertically and horizontally. And there is something called unity, which is life is one in all the human beings, not only humans, in all life forms also it is the same life which is manifesting. Atma is one. this point is totally lost sight of, even by the scholars. And Shankara entered into the world at that period. And his contribution to the recognition of that unity in all, unity in diversity, is an epoch-making contribution, and it is unprecedented. And but for him, the message of Upanishads would never have reached the mankind at all. Because the message of Upanishads is hidden under the cacophony of the other part of the Vedas. Noise that is created by karma and upasana is so great that this feeble voice of Atma Ekaha, it was totally submerged in that noise. And then Shankara enters the picture. Then he brings out that message of unity from the Vedic teaching. Now, unity and variety are opposed to each other. So if variety predominates, unity is gone. If unity predominates, variety will be gone. Thereby Shankara, is he doing injustice to a major portion of Veda by highlighting one small end portion of Veda? Is that so? No. That is the difference between a traditional teacher and a reformer. Shankara is not a reformer that way. He is a revolutionary, but not a reformer. A reformer, he wants to destroy certain existing things and bring in an outside reform onto the society. That's why reformers may not entirely succeed, may not be desirable also. But Shankara, he did not altogether eliminate the variety based, the karma and upasana, which are based on plurality. They have their own role to play, their own contribution is recognized. We need karma and upasana also in life, but we should not be dissociated from jnanam. Jnana should be there in our life. Without knowledge, the karma becomes superstitious and the upasana becomes superstitious. Karma becomes mechanical, upasana becomes superstitious. Knowledge alone sanctifies karma and upasana. Therefore, we need karma and upasana, but jnanam should occupy the first spark. So this vision is brought into the Hindu Dharma by Shankara. That is his greatest contribution. But for him, earlier acharyas, they were carried away by the force of karma and upasana. We can see that. Like Bhartru Prapancha Acharya, etc. Great acharyas before Shankara, they were there. They have written very good commentaries for the Vedas and Upanishads also. But when it came to Upanishads, the force of that, the momentum of the karma, upasana, variety or plurality, it carries their mind away from the truth. And they are so much influenced by the variety that is seen in the earlier part of the Vedas, to the extent that they have failed to recognize the unity teaching. And Shankara, he has corrected this situation. He has created a viveka, that is his glory. The discrimination, viveka, is Shankara's hallmark of his teaching. So, things are presented in their proper form, without mixing up. If you mix a few things, then the clarity will not be there. Some people do that mistake. They say too many things, they say one after another, they will be saying. There will be no connection. And they will be self-contradicting. And so that viveka is very difficult to maintain. So, it is like satyam jnanam anantam brahma, you say. Now you have to explain it. So satyam, truth, the truth in our life is very important. Only by speaking truth you will reach God. Like that if you start, then that has nothing to do with what it is there. So, jnanam anantam. Bhagavan ananta kalyana guna sampanna hai. The all infinite good qualities are there in Bhagavan. Bhagavan has infinite power. Everything is infinite with Ishvara. Like that if you start, so the basic message is lost. So if he is speaking the right thing or wrong thing, we cannot really say. So a very confusing way people interpret mantras and all that. Shankara will never do that. Mantra vyakshana means interpretation of mantra is anyway difficult. The language is different. So the culture is also somewhat different. We are very much distant, far removed in time from the Vedic culture. So now we have to interpret Veda mantras means we have to go back in time and look at the whole thing from an entirely different perspective. So mantra vyakshanam is always difficult. Whereas Shankara, when it comes to explaining the mantra, Shankara is supreme. And Vidyaranya Swami, of course, Vidyaranya has commented upon all the four Vedas. Shankara has not commented that much. He has confined himself only to Upanishads. But when Vidyaranya Swami is a very nice disciple of Shankara. Disciple means not direct disciple. He learned from Shankara. He studied Shankara Bhashyas. He must have studied. And he understood the message of Shankara very well. Then he started commenting upon Veda mantras. So you find that brevity, that direct approach, that precision of approach, all these qualities you can see in Vidyaranya. I have a feeling that he learnt it all from Shankara's style. But yet, Shankara's way of explaining mantras is unique. He looks at the mantra very thoroughly, very incisive way. He looks at the mantra. Every word of the mantra is explained for him with a lot of shraddha, lot of adara, lot of devotion to the mantra. Never glossing over any part of the mantra. So this way, but for Shankara's commentary or bhashya, the Upanishadic vakyas, they could not be really appreciated by us. It is like you have wonderful sculptures in a dark cave, but unless there is a torch in your hand, you cannot enjoy all that. So the Upanishads are like that dark cave with wonderful statements. But we need a torch, and that torch is bhashya. Karadipika, they say, the torch in hand. It helps us to see all the glories that are hidden in an otherwise obscure system or language. So, this way, Upanishads are considered the main source of all philosophical knowledge, you know. Upanishadic knowledge is philosophy. So they are the main source books. And if the source books remain obscure, then the knowledge cannot be fulfilling. It cannot be really revealing knowledge. It also remains obscure. Some mystery type of mysterious kind it remains. But fortunately, Shankara threw a wonderful light of his bhashyas on all the mantras of Upanishads, really bringing them into light and making them crystal clear for the reader, thereby bringing out philosophy of Advaita, the unity, to the mankind. That is his greatest contribution. And then he has created such a wonderful literature. I always felt that he has created a three-tier literature. First tier is Prasthanatraya Bhashya. So the major texts, Upanishads are the source books, Brahma Sutras are aphorisms meant for analyzing the statements of Upanishads only, mainly. So the Brahma Sutras and Gita is the essence of Upanishads, Upanishad Sara. So it is all Upanishads only. So there are three, essentially it is all one kind of literature. So Shankara has composed elaborate bhashyas on all these three kinds of texts. There are Upanishads, Brahma Sutras and Gita. This is one level of literature, Prasthanatraya Bhashya. But studying Prasthanatraya Bhashya is never easy. The volume is more, the language could be a bit tough, and the person cannot really get a correct grasp of the subject by starting to learn Upanishads. That is not the way. So a student has to be well prepared before he can really enter into the Upanishadic literature and Brahma Sutra literature and study that. So that preparation has to be done. Therefore, Shankara has created his own literature to prepare the students. There is not much literature around to prepare anybody. Therefore, he put a new road. It is like when the path is not there, he created a path and made it and metalled it and made it perfect road like that. So he created Prakarana. And Prakarana means a context. So a particular aspect of the Shastra, which is Shastra is the Upanishad. So a particular aspect of that Shastra is taken out. And it is highlighted, explained in simpler language and made into a text. So that now a student can study, can benefit. Like that a few texts you study, these Prakarana texts, now you are ready to enter into the Upanishadic literature, whatever it is, Upanishad Bhashya, Gita Bhashya, or even Brahma Sutra Bhashya. So these Prakaranas are very important texts. So if a beginner student or a group of students who are beginners in Vedanta want to study from Vedanta, we have to do is pick up one or two prakaranas and teach them so that they get that terminology and their understanding is reason is brought above a particular level. Then they can really take off in studying Vedanta. So this prakarana literature is a very important literature. And Shankara has created a huge amount of prakarana literature. Panchikaranam, one prakarana. Atma bodha, the atma is it. Tattva bodha, so tattvas are principles, the basic principles of this creation. Tattva. Not only creation, the individual. All these tattvas, principles. Sometimes they are counted as 17, sometimes as 24, sometimes as 26, whatever they are all explained. So, Tattva Bodha. Then, like that, Atma Jnana Upadesha Dikhi, one small prose text. How to bring the topic of Atma to the student? In simple words. So, it's a text by itself. So, like this, Upadesha Panchakam. 5 verses, a few values are given as an advice to the seeker. Pratasmarana stotram, that is a different thing. So this way, he has created literature. In some of the prakaranas are big, so much so, they do not highlight just a few contextual things. They more or less highlight the entire shastra. That also could be there. For example, Sakala Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha is a text. It's a big text. The name itself, Sakala Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. Then Upadesha Sahasri, that kind of a text. Then we have Viveka Sudamani, where the emphasis is on Viveka. Sarvatmabhava is there, but emphasis is on Viveka. Because in the learning, the first stage is Viveka. Second stage is Sarvatma. That is the progress. Therefore, the Viveka, the Prakriya, Viveka Prakriya, Sarvatma Prakriya. So, Viveka Prakriya is brought out very superbly in Viveka Chudamani. So, like this, these are the Prakarana. Then Stotra. Because as I told you, Indian society worshipped Lord in many forms. So, he validated some of the important forms. It's not that he has just, he is not an iconoclast. He has broken all the forms, it's not like that. Some of the forms are highlighted and validated. Rama, Krishna. We need, in spite of Advaita and all that, we need to worship these forms. They are good. So, we are taking Vishwa, in spite of Advaita, we are taking Vishwa. Vishwa is what? Vishwa is an aham only. You need an aham to take Vishwa. Without aham, how Vishwa will happen? So, then some of the worldly things are there in spite of an understanding of the unity. Why not a few forms also? So that all people can be taken along. So that Vedanti need not isolate himself from the society. He can be a part of the society. He can help them in their own mode of worship. Therefore, he created a number of stotras, but in each stotram, he incorporates the message. He never leaves the message behind. Each stotram is like that. He says, Kashi Panchakam. It is all Vedanta. All his stotras are like the Dakshinamurti stotram. It is a kind of worship of Dakshinamurti. But then it is all Vedanta. Krishna stotram is like that. Krishna Bhujanga Prayasa stotra. It is like that. All his stotras are like that. Some of these stotras which are not like that, they are not composed by him, in spite of the name. So this way, the forms of worship that are prevalent in the society have to be recognized and validated. We have to incorporate them into the mainstream spirituality. We have to do that. Shankara has done it. Later years, we stopped doing it. Therefore, these forms of worship, they became, in a way, alienated from the mainstream culture. And so all those people who can only relate to Ishvara in that form, they became alienated from the mainstream society. Even Adivasi, etc., they are all like that. So, in India, once I was telling you, all these Pochamma, Polamma, Maridamma, all these worships are there. They have to be incorporated into the mainstream society, mainstream worship. We should not say they are all useless. If they are all useless, then they will all become Christians. Then nobody, only Pitadipatis and their chalas remain in Hinduism. Nobody else remains. That is not desirable, you know. So Maridamma. Maridamma is Mrudani. Mruda is a Shiva. Mrudasya Patni, Mrudani. Mrudani is Maridamma. Like that, every Amma is like that. All these Grama Devatas, etc., there are so many types of worshipping the same ultimate truth. Ishvara Shakti is worshipped as Devata. So, we have to incorporate all of them. We should not stay away from all that. So, Shankara has incorporated into the mainstream worship all these. He is called Shanmata Sthapana Acharya. He is the Acharya who has established six modes of worship, or six matas, not one matam, six matas. Each mata is a mode of worship. So, this is how he united the society. He reformed the society by eliminating certain undesirable practices. Shankara was a very great reformer. Reformer in the sense, not in a modern sense. He is a very great revolutionist. In his own times, he was a revolutionary. And so his contribution to Hindu Dharma is immense. We are here because of Shankara. Otherwise, we would not be here. So,